Good evening and welcome to Shed Sessions. I think I say the exact same thing every time, but oh well, people will get used to it. I think it's all right. Luckily, we do it in the evening because I'd have to say something else otherwise. I think we've done a few sessions in the day. I think EB came on a Saturday afternoon, and that was interesting. It was good to get photos in the daylight. It was a good one.
What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read. What's in your shed? What's in your shed?
I am delighted to welcome Matt and Sarah into the shed, and they are from a band called Crandall. And I've been watching you two for a while now, and I was lucky enough to see you at a show a few months back. But it's a real treat to have you with us, and I can't believe it's actually happening, because this was a few months ago when we organized it, and here we are. How are you both doing?
Yeah, we're good.
I'm good. A little nervous, as we don't get out of the house very often these days. So yeah.
Yeah, we're hermits.
Well, I think you've probably been creating and honing all your energy for this one.
That's it. And
the setup looks great, by the way. I'm really excited to hear your music. But before we start, as is tradition for this show, I kind of have a little bit of a storytelling session, and I normally talk about my day and the weather, and I think I'll do a little bit of that, if that's okay. So the weather is kind of changing. It's on the turn. I feel that we're becoming more part of the sky. The atmosphere feels like it's closing in. It's getting more damp and cold. And
vapors.
Yeah, yeah. There's this closeness, isn't there? And I've noticed the grass near the hedge on the north-facing side doesn't get dry anymore, so that it's kind of wet the whole day through, and then you know we're heading for winter. And also spider webs everywhere. I keep walking through the garden and like walk through a long spider web. I don't know how they stretch a web from like one tree to the other, and if there's a big gap. So there's a cherry tree out there, and then they manage to get a web across from the cherry tree to the hedge.
If it's a small spider, it'll use the air and a loop of web to float across. If it's a heavy spider, they tend to just go down and crawl along and crawl back up the next high thing they find and tighten it up.
Oh, that's very interesting. Mm. You know, I have to thank my son for that question. He asked me that. We were walking up in Whiteham Woods, and we're literally walking through loads of spider webs, and he asked me that, and it was a bit of a brain teaser, but there you go.
Yeah, the flying ones are amazing when you see them coming through the air, just like, you know, on their own little parachute.
Yeah, it's so interesting, little insects. And there's also lots of snails and slugs.
Yeah.
And I really feel sad when I walk down the garden at night, because every night I come down here and just to like open the shed door, have a look around, for no reason at all, and then I come out again. But on the way, I sometimes stand on a snail and I hear this crunch.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it's a bit sad.
You can't take it back.
No, it's gone. But in the morning, it's usually cleared away by a crow or something.
Do you have hedgehogs?
Yes.
I saw a sign on your bin. That's cool. We don't get them in our garden, but I've always wanted them.
Yeah, they are very cool. They're quite rare at the moment. Yeah. We haven't seen any for a while, but occasionally we do get them. And yeah, I do walk slowly through the garden just in case there's some creature about and I don't want to stand on it. And then, of course, we get the frogs, and the frogs are looking quite big because they spawned in springtime and now they've grown up. They're big dudes, and they're moving around a bit slower now. But they're out there, and I like that. And last night, did you hear that thunder?
Yeah.
I woke up, at 1 a.m.
Our house was leaking.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Had to put some towels down.
Was it containable?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a water butt. My theory is I have a water butt which collects rainwater. And this year I actually installed a hose pipe up the far end of the garden so I don't have to do the Stardew Valley thing of carrying watering cans up and down, which meant I haven't used as much rainwater, and I've got a feeling it just filled up And that meant the gutter wasn't draining into it, and it just basically started spilling down the front of the house and through cracks. And
oh, I'm sure lots of people woke up this morning discovering all sorts of leaks. Water finds a way. It just goes where it needs to go. You can't stop it. But yeah, that thunder was loud. The loudest bass sound I've ever heard.
And really the lightning loud. Was really cool.
Yeah.
Really nice.
You see the room light up, and then you wait, and then you hear the thunder coming after. It was quite fun. I grew up with thunderstorms in Johannesburg and quite used to it, but my family get a bit scared, and she woke up and she was putting her hands over her ears, and my heart just sank because I can imagine her in her room, and she didn't come and wake us or anything. I mean, we were awake anyway, but she was just there blocking her ears.
Aww.
Poor thing. One more thing I did today is I had a break from work and I walked through South Park and went to Oxfam on Kylie Road, and I found a cassette tape that I'm really happy with. And it's right here. And it's the piano, Michael Nyman, original music from the film by Jane Campion, composed by Michael Nyman.
Hell yeah.
And I remember listening to this loads, like it somehow fitted in with all the grunge music I was listening to at the time. It was 90s, so yeah, pleased with that.
Good one.
Matt's got a cassette player in his car.
Oh, nice. Does it get jammed or is it good?
It's actually quite good, yeah. I've got this one Steely Dan tape, Gaucho, and for some reason I love that album, and every time I put it on it gums up the tape player and I have to put tape cleaner in before I can play anything else. But it's like kind of worth it. It's sort of, yeah, I don't know how, what I would compare it to. You know it's bad for you, but you do it anyway because it feels good, you know.
I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, and then following that 99p cassette, I went into truck store and I didn't have anything in mind, but I was quite sad because I missed out on that Stornoway Beachcombers Windowsill Dinked edition. So they released 500 copies with all sorts of new stuff. And everywhere it sold out. And I thought, let me just ask. And I asked in the store and they said they keep a handful away. There's a handful that they don't put online. And I thought, that's really nice, because you can't always expect everyone's going to be online. And that's nice to keep some available for people who will just walk in. And he said, let me just check, because we keep a few. And he looked and he said, we've got one left.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I said, oh, please, can you put that aside? And he said, we can do that for you, Warren. We'll keep that for you. And I said, do I need to pay now? He said, no. Just come in December or whatever, when that date is, and it's yours. So nice. I was really happy with that.
You want to know a fun story about that album?
Yes, please.
Like, I actually toured with Stornoway and played for Ollie because he was doing his university exams and couldn't do the tour. So I got to go and tour with Stornoway around Norway and Holland and play gigs with them, which was really fun and scary.
That's incredible, yeah. Because when I was learning about Stornoway for the interview we had this week, I saw that there was that Norway and Sweden and all the kind of overseas touring. And so you were with them.
Yeah, I think it must have been 2010, maybe, something
like
that.
Yeah, I can't remember the dates. Yeah. It's all gone. Like, I did the research and now that info's kind of shifted.
Yeah, I can't remember any of it, though.
But I'm sure you could if you sat down and
thought. Ollie's a great bass player. He really gave me a tough time learning some of those songs.
Oh. Yeah, he was really good. So that's cool. Very nice.
That was fun.
So yeah, that's my little story session, and I would love to hear your first song.
Oh wow. All right. Let's do it.
We're there.
Cool.
Do you want to introduce this one?
Yeah. Okay. This little number is by a fine woman by the name of Shakira, and it's called She-Wolf. A domesticated girl. That's all you ask of me, darling, it is no joke. This is lycanthropy. The moon's awake now, the eyes wide open, my body's craving, so feed the hungry. I was so into your story, and I forgot what I was doing, and I was just like, oh, I totally missed out the whole beginning of that song. Oh. I'm sorry.
Did sorry. You? I didn't.
I'm sorry if that threw you off, Matt.
It's fine.
I thought it sounded fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
What a great tune. What got you on to? I mean, I was going to talk about choosing the songs you cover later, but. How about this one? What made you choose Shakira?
We're getting into how we
came up with a lot of this stuff. So
yes, so it was. We've done covers for a while. We used to pick them ourselves, and when lockdown happened, we started a group. Because we were playing quite a lot of gigs before, we were kind of like getting into our stride, and it was sort of, yeah, just like cut short, and we were kind of full of energy. So we started a group called Covered in Flies, where all of our friends who were musicians, everyone would put in a song that they thought would be a good cover, and then we'd swap them around. Matt made this thing called The Great Randomizer, and it would assign you a song, and you had, at the beginning, you had a week to do it, but then as we got lazier, we kind of had like a
two
month.
2 weeks, then a month.
Sometimes a month. Yes, and that was.
Yeah, and then we'd have like a listening party, and like over Zoom, everyone would get some drinks, and we'd go through all the tracks on the call and kind of give each other some kudos. And it was quite nice to kind of touch base with people when you've been locked in your house for months and months. And that one, interestingly, we had left it to the last minute, as we usually did.
Yes.
And then got hit by a power cut that lasted like a whole day. So we basically just drank some red wine in the dark and played it on acoustic guitar, which is why it's a little bit more
chilled,
I suppose.
Loungy.
Yeah, it was just an acoustic guitar thing at the start, and
everything off the second record is been assigned to us. Yeah.
Luck of the draw.
Yeah.
I was thinking today, what could I ask? If you even take those requests, but not for tonight, obviously, you'd be able to just go, oh, we'll play it.
We could try if you get me the chords.
Maybe I'm going to start thinking, and maybe we can be in touch at some point.
Yeah. But
it got me really excited about songs which could be covered in such a brilliant way. And I was so impressed. I was writing stuff down, and I see you've covered stuff by Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, he's like a mainstay in the Crandall universe.
This keyboard is the same model that he used for various positions, and I'm Your Man was the Technics K350 he wrote all that on, which this bad boy.
Yeah, that's nice to know. Wow.
Yeah, so we got it in lockdown because we thought we owed it to ourselves. Yeah.
We ran out of presets on the other one. That's the problem with this format, is that eventually you run out of all 16 presets and
yeah
you got to just buy another one.
Any excuse?
Why not?
But it's interesting to learn about the wonderful creations that have come out of that whole lockdown thing that happened. And as bad as it was, I think it was a good time for people to just reflect on what they were doing, and all this whole podcast came out of that too. So it's really nice to hear. There's a lot of great music that has appeared and is coming forth.
A lot of people in that group as well had never recorded anything before, and they were interested in trying. So they all got kind of, you know, like GarageBand on their iPads and just had a go. And it was really, you know, everyone was celebrating that. And it was really nice to kind of, get people into recording music for the first time and realizing that there is another outlet other than gigs, you know, even if you're just a singer or something, you know.
And what if you weren't a singer? Was there anyone who came out with stuff they'd never done before?
It was the first time I'd recorded my voice during that period. I've always been terrified of singing on recording. I'm still not very good at it, but I've got better over lockdown and feel more comfortable doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because we started off separately. So I would do one and Matt would do one. And then we realized that we were both chronic procrastinators, and we would just be like fighting each other for the studio. So we're like, let's just do it together at the same time. But yeah, most of the ones that Matt's singing on the record are Matt songs. I always like played keyboard in them and vice versa, you know.
Well, I love the sound of your voices together. I think it works really well. And
thanks, man.
Both lovely voices. Amazing. Perfect. Should we hear another song?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Is that all right?
I'm not used to this format. It's like blindfolded. What are we doing now? Who by Fire. All right. Oh, okay. Gosh. Got a lot setting up to do.
I always mess this up.
I'm definitely not ready. I need a few moments. Okay. I think I'm ready.
All right.
Let's see.
Standing here thinking, how's this happening? What's going on? Like, you know, there's a Radiohead song. I don't know which one it is. I think it's off Kid A. And it goes, I think it's Ice Age coming. Is this really happening? And that keeps going on in my head. Like today when I was cycling home, I knew you were coming and I was thinking, is this really happening? What's going on? And it is. It is really happening. And it's so nice to have like a band just playing for us. Like I feel a bit smug in a way, like, aww, we're sitting here and it's just wonderful. It's beautiful. And
thank you.
The sounds are transporting me away. They're creating beautiful pictures and soundscapes, and like I think of the Wild West or something, or deserts. I like these big open deserts or something. It's amazing what's going on in here. I reckon if they plugged some little pads to my head, you'd see like loads of stuff going on. I'm having a freak out.
Amazing.
I feel the same way.
Oh, cool. I got to see you in July this year in the library on Cowley Road, and it's a great venue. And on the same night, there was an artist called Plague Arish who started off, and he had some crazy industrial techno grinding, menacing stuff.
That was our first gig for three years. Like 3 years or something. I was already having kind of a meltdown, and I started watching him and was like, oh no, oh no.
Well, I had to take a step out and have a breather.
Yeah.
Not because it was bad, but it was very intense.
A visceral.
Yeah. And it was working. Whatever he was doing was working. And then Lee Switzer Wolf came on and made it all better again. Not that it was bad, you know what I mean?
He's great. We've played with him before.
He's a beauty. Yeah, I love him.
Guy.
And we got the pleasure of having him join us in the shed. It was such a great session.
Mm.
And then Crandall came on and I was blown away. It was such a magical set. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow. And Stefano, who's here with us, thanks, Stefano, for joining us. He helped put on that show with all the bands through All Will Be Wired. Is that right, Stefano?
Yeah.
And I said to him, dude, this is incredible. And it was. And then I came afterwards and just said hi and told you that I thought it was great, and I'm sure you are buzzing after the show and you're like, what's going on? But I don't think I was too over the top. And then following that gig, there was an article in the Night Shift magazine, which is Oxford's music scene fanzine of magazine, and it's been going on for years, I think that's the right wording, and they said there about your show, if David Lynch ever managed a wedding band, they would sound like Crandall. I thought that's very positive. How would you respond to that David Lynch comparison?
I mean, David Lynch aside, I think one of our dream gigs would probably be some residency on a cruise ship or in some, you know, cheesy hotel lobby, you know, just kind of playing quietly, spooking people out a bit. I'm totally down with that. I mean, for me, David Lynch has always been like a big inspiration. Well, from growing up, I think, you know, I was big into David Lynch, and yeah, even now, you know, watching back stuff like Lost Highway and Blue Velvet and things like that, they're just astonishing, you know, visual kind of feasts.
We draw a lot of inspiration, I think. So yeah, that was great. They got us.
And I think the same with
nature
and wild. It was funny you were saying you're kind of seeing yourself out in the desert or on, you know, some great plain. And yeah, I think like we're quite big into like nature and scenery, and I feel like for me that's kind of where a lot of my inspiration is in that kind of like the wind in the wild places, you know.
Very cinematic, very broad, like broad strokes of a paintbrush or something. Mm. But
well, the gig that we played before, the gig that we played at the library was my grandma's 80th birthday party. Mm. So that was like, yeah,
that was quite good.
It was close.
In California, we've been out and about and bought cowboy boots and stuff, and we're just kind of, yeah, playing these songs to a bunch of...
extended family.
a very big group of very different aged people.
And how did they respond?
I mean, it was Sarah, so of course it was well received.
Yeah, you have to say it's good.
Yeah, well, I think we did okay. I think I had another tremolo accident at that gig.
Yeah, you did.
Had to last minute go, and we got one that didn't fit, and I had to fit it in with electrical tape for my, you know.
Is that like a whammy or something?
Yeah, it's just a spring really that loosens the strings.
It's an important member of the band.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the vibe, you know?
That's the sound. It's the sound we need. And I kind of went on a David Lynch detour while I was doing some research. And I remember watching Roy Orbison, Black and White Night, that video about him. And David Lynch is actually in the audience.
Oh, I have not seen that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool, cool video.
Roy is one of my heroes.
It was filmed in a nightclub in LA, in the Ambassador Hotel. The nightclub is Coco A Nut or something weird. It's no longer, but David Lynch was there. And during that performance, Roy Orbison had, I think, Bruce Springsteen, Katie Lang, loads of other people that were there. And the next morning after the recording, there was an earthquake in LA. 7:59 or something in the morning. It was a 5.3 magnitude on the Richter scale, and some of the chandeliers fell down onto the tapes that they had recorded on, and they were undamaged. They managed to like
survive. Roy Orbison's luck, isn't it?
His luck was very good.
Well, everything seems to avoid him, but just trashes everything around him.
Yeah. Quite right, yeah. So that took me on a little journey, and I like that a lot. So I definitely can see all that in your music. It could be a great Tarantino film soundtrack. I think each and every song that I've listened to, I could imagine being in a really good film.
Oh, that's so nice.
I think there's two people that we've always wanted to cover and tried a couple of times, but never quite does it justice. And I think that's Prince and Roy Orbison.
Yeah, it's hard. They're both like, he's too good at singing.
We love everything they do, and we can't do our own version of it. It never cuts it, you know.
They're too good for us.
Yeah, I won't ask for you to cover Roy
or Prince.
What about I Drove All Night?
Yeah, we could try.
We could give it a go.
Not right now.
No, that's okay. So what have we got next?
Mm. Oh, yeah, I didn't introduce the last one. This is a little number by Sonny and Cher.
Mm.
And, I think this is from Crandall 1, our first album called Penalines Casio Dinglings. And, I think in that album we were really into, like, songs with like really confusing times, not time signatures, but just weird in that way, because we realized that it made it sound better through the little chintzy keyboard that we had. And I'm gonna stop talking now and press all my buttons, and I might take a while.
Thank you.
is never
could be one of my favorite ones. So what cowboy kit did you buy in California? Some boots?
Some boots.
Some boots.
I bought some boots and an old point-and-shoot camera with a self-timer on it. Took it out to the desert.
Yeah.
Borrowed Sarah's uncle's car.
Yeah, we did. We did that. We didn't, yeah, it was like an impromptu holiday, but I'm going back into the mic. I'm just conscious of
drifting
the mic.
Away from the mic, it's okay.
My aunt had a friend who had an old 1950s motel in the desert, and because we wanted to go to this place called the Salton Sea. I don't know if you heard of it.
I haven't.
It's like...
It's the largest...
It's so funny.
...inland saltwater body of water in the world, and it was created by accident.
Yeah.
Basically, I think they tried to create an artificial beach in the desert, and they basically dug the water in somehow. It filled up with saltwater, and it was beautiful for maybe 5 years, and then the water started to evaporate, and the salt content of it got higher and higher and higher, until it was pretty much just like salt soup, and all of the animals died. So now it was just this stinking,
like toxic,
wretched, toxic pile of salt and bones and a little bit of water left in the middle.
No, that's humans trying to interfere, yeah. And you can never balance an ecosystem again.
But now it's an incredible place to visit because there's still all of the old 50s stuff around there from its heyday, and there's still bars and people that live there and stuff, but it's obviously a very interesting place to live because it's hot and smelly and people really only go there for, you know, just to sort of check out the weirdness of it. But yeah,
so yeah, my aunt, because we said we wanted to go there, she was like, oh, my friend's got a old 1950s motel out there, but it's out of season because it was like the middle of summer, so nobody would go to the desert in the middle of the summer. So we were like the only people in this hotel. And then it was so beautiful. It felt like being in Looney Tunes. Like everything looked like Looney Tunes, like the desert and the fact that it was like 1950s motel. So yeah, when we knew that we were going there, we were like, we need a camera and we need to take a load of band pics. And we did. We did that.
Yeah, it had a really amazing pool, like 50s style pool.
Like palm trees.
That we had to ourselves, and when we got there, it was like full of
scorpions
and yeah, like I remember we left a towel on the back of the chair on our little motel
big mistake
thing, and went to bed and forgot about it. Came out in the morning and the wind had blown it onto the floor, and I just sort of picked it up, you know, it shouldn't be on the floor, and this like scorpion drops out and lands on my foot, and I'm just you know, English, like this is not the life for me. I didn't even have my cowboy boots on. It was like sandals, you know.
Yeah, that's what the boots are for.
You should always wear cowboy
boots.
Yeah,
and check inside them before you put them on.
Oh yeah, well. You don't want a snake in your boots.
Nope.
that's incredible. And I've seen some of the photos which I think were taken there. What album is... You've mentioned your album, and I've looked on. Is it SoundCloud?
Oh yeah, SoundCloud's confusing. Bandcamp, we've been a bit more organized with.
Okay, so I was looking in the wrong place, but I got to hear the music. But there's a beautiful image, and I think it's of you're standing one in front of the other. And are you behind?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The night.
Yeah, and then the picture. There's some cactuses at ground level, and then. The color is seeped, overexposed maybe. It goes kind of bluish black and then orange.
Yeah. That was that spot. That was out the side of our little motel in the desert.
Just like old film, and then the camera we just got from like a used camera shop. Yeah,
it was quite scary wandering around there at night trying to find a spot, like, because we'd seen black widows. There's, you know, bound to be tons of snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
We know that there's like wild cats and things. We went on a hike as well out there, which I think we took like one little bottle of water. Like, we didn't realize, and we just,
yeah, they're like, you need 2 bottles of water to go on the walk.
They need a gallon per person to do this thing, and we just had like a 500 milliliter bottle of Evian to share.
Yeah, I was like, we'll be fine.
It'll yeah, okay. We're camels.
I think we're so comfortable in England, the green and pleasant land, where nothing really is going to kill you other than, I suppose, yourself. That's a bit morbid, sorry.
Not on purpose.
But yeah, there's a lot of things you've got to take into account when you're in a different place. Like, so I risk assessed that part of the conversation. There was scorpions, sunstroke or heat stroke. Black widows, treachery. But you got some great photos out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was fun.
And some good cowboy boots. Did you both get a pair?
Sarah already had some, but
I have a cowboy boot obsession.
So. I got some their snake skin, yellow and black snake skin. Very good boots.
Well, they do sound good. I checked some out last time I was in the States, and I should have saved a bit more before I went, because the ones I wanted were obviously worth it, but a bit more than I expected to pay. So next time I go, I should have a separate savings pot for some cowboy boots.
Probably get like a modest credit card just for cowboy boots.
And then you've got to wear them for the rest of your life till they're really nice and worn.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Very nice. Should we go into another song?
Yeah, let's do it. So I think we're on Spellbound now.
Okay. They have a rocky one.
Yeah, this is a Crandall classic. We've been playing this song. We've played this song every time we've ever played a gig, because we love it. And it's by this wonderful lady who we love, called Rachel Sweet. Wait, can I do a long intro? Is this bad form?
You can do whatever you like.
Yes. So she, me and Matt have an obsession with Rachel Sweet, and she worked a lot with John Waters and did all the Crybaby soundtrack.
And Hairspray.
All the Hairspray.
And
Clarissa Explains It All.
We can cover that one, can't we?
We could.
All right. Way cool.
Spreading my
That's another favorite of mine. When I was listening to it, I was looking up, trying to find out whose song it was, and I couldn't find it. And you've explained it, and I found Susie and the Banshees Spellbound, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah,
she's Rachel Sweet.
She's like, when she recorded the album, she was 16, and she like wrote all of her own songs, and she's just amazing. I just love her so much. Also, would you like to know a fun little fact?
Yes, please.
Because like she's not as famous as she should be. We don't know what the lyrics are, so we just make them up. And there's a part where we say, "Who's spreading my Kiev away?" But I don't know what she actually says.
We do this quite a lot. I guess a little game for the listeners out there could be to spot the lyrics that we didn't know or changed.
What could she be saying?
What did you say you've said?
Figure out is who's spreading my Kiev away.
I like the stick little pins in the doll.
Pins in my hat. Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah, there's a few songs like that, and I'm sure we all come across it. There's that REM song on Automatic for the People where he goes, "Come Charmeca" or something. Who knows? I haven't really bothered to look it up because I just like how it sounds. I suppose it's your take on it.
I went on YouTube though, and like there's loads of people on the song who are like, "Does anyone know what she's saying?" And nobody knows. Rachel Sweet knows.
I do think that's one of the nice things about doing covers, especially when you pick ones that people don't know. It's almost like if people do find the originals, you're kind of teaching people about a new artist that they might not have, you know, discovered before. And it feels like a bit of a public service sometimes, just to, you know, give an old song a bit of airplay and bring it back to life a bit for other people.
Well, that's exactly what you've been doing for me, and even artists that I know and then didn't realize they had done that song. There's a song by Paul Simon which you do, and it might be one of my favorite Paul Simon songs now. Which one is it?
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Yes,
that's our most popular one on SoundCloud.
And you do a really good version of it. I did was I listened to all your stuff and then I went and listened to the originals, and it got me through like an 8-hour shift of work. No problem. I was just busy listening.
That's so nice to hear.
It was an absolute treat. I loved it so much. And before we hear your final song, I'd like to talk about your instruments. And it's just part of your... I think you're both very stylish, by the way. I think your whole setup is cool. I think everything you do is really nicely thought out, and it's cool.
You're stylish too, man.
Thank you. And I'm looking at like a mixing board type of thing, and you call it...
Well...
What is that? And that's creating loads of...
So this is actually making the pews. This is...
You're pointing at... The mixing desk.
It's an old 70s Tascam, and what it does, it gives you a slightly easier job because you only have two things to plug in because we've done all the mixing for you. But it does add a lovely amount of grit, and we can overdrive it a bit, and you see the little lights coming on, and that's when you know like you're getting the most out of it. It sort of flattens the sound off, gives it a bit of bite, and... Yeah, I mean, there's also an old Hawk. This is a 60s Hawk Japanese spring reverb.
Can I slap it?
You can slap it. Hit the reverb. Just give it a bigger knock. You might be able to just about hear that.
I don't trust myself. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I got there.
So that reverb's lovely. It's really clean. You can put it on every single track on your mix and it doesn't get muddy for some reason. I don't know. It's literally a foot and a half long metal box with two long springs in it, and the sound gets put into one of them and then recorded at the other end. So the time the sound takes to get to the end is that little...
It's gone right through. I heard that.
We didn't really need that. We could have just come and plugged it straight in, but it just sounds a bit nicer to record with. It doesn't come to gigs with us. And then...
Yeah, keyboards. We've got... So these are like... they're called arrangers, and they're for songwriters who aren't very good at playing instruments to write songs with. And we've got about 9 of them. And so when we record songs, we sometimes use them exactly how they are, but a lot of the times we do other things. but yeah, I think to play live, I think we wanted to have a big sound that we were not capable of 2 people, which is why we brought in these arrangers. But then we've become a slave to the arrangers because this only has like 8 settings. And yeah, you press a note and it plays the whole backing track.
You press 2 keys to make it minor, 3 to make it 7, yeah. 4 to make it minor 7th. So you can kind of, if you know a song, let's say, you know, you got B minor, then on there you can just press the B and the key below it, and it'll all give you a, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cheat.
It is, but we do quite a lot with it, so you can't see on the podcast, but Sarah's doing stuff like taking out the accompaniment, dropping out the bass, you know, taking out the drums, bringing stuff back up and changing the settings we're using and the instruments and things on the fly, which I used to do this job and it's really hard. we used to have Joe Swarbrick who played guitar and I did the keyboards, and Sarah could focus on singing and doing some synth stuff. But it's simpler, I think, with just us two. We're a bit of a kind of a living room band, so yeah. It's kind of hard to get someone else or go off to Jamie's studios or something. It's just nice for it to be at home and just, you know, I think our gigs are a bit like that as well. I hope that people kind of feel a bit like they're in our living rooms when we're playing. You know, warts and all, I think, a lot of the time. But and then there's me on my guitar, as they say in, what was that show? And me on my guitar. Pugwall? Was it Pugwall? It was Pugwall. What a show. I remember the one with the seagulls where they were shitting on it. I can't say that, can I?
You can say that.
You can edit that out. That's okay. They were pooping all over the building, and then for some reason they were eating loads of spaghetti and throwing up, and like that episode just made me feel really ill as a kid. And now it comes back every now and again. I think about that Pugwall episode where there's seagulls crapping everywhere and puking, and anyway.
It's chaos.
Yeah. And then, yeah, me on my guitar. I'm not really a guitar player. I'm a bass player, but I find my way around it. And I prank myself because sometimes we leave big gaps between playing anything. And I'm not the kind of person that'll be like, okay, so it's a C. No, I'm going to be like, okay, so it's a C. Because I like these kind of emotionally ambiguous chords. And then 6 months goes past and I'm listening to it and I'm like, what the hell was I playing on that? Like, sometimes I get Sarah to take videos of me when I work something out so that we can go back in time and I can remember it. But yeah, a lot of the time we spend leading up to gigs is me trying to figure out what the hell I was playing. But we get there. We work it out eventually.
Sometimes you take these little gifts from the universe when you're creating and you can't ask too many questions. It's just there, and trying to recreate it can be a mission. I've reached a bit of a painter's block. I painted all these album covers, and now
so,
I don't know how I did
so
it.
Good.
Thank
That's
you.
So beautiful.
I don't know how I did it. And I tried the other night to start one and I just couldn't. But I think I'm focusing my creative energies in this for the moment. And it will come. I'm not going to get myself too worried about it. And you can't question it. It's just that little present that was landed upon you.
Yeah. No, we do roll on and off of it. Sometimes we'll take long breaks. But I think sometimes... I think with this format, it you can start to kind of run out of... or feel like you've run out of room. Like, you know, we've got a sound, and I think it has a vibe and a character, so we've got like a voice and a character, but I think quite a lot of the time it's hard for us to work out like what it's doing. So while the covers are really cool, I do think that it's time for us to start kind of coming up with our own narrative, I suppose, you know, given we've got the voice and the character, and try and apply it to our own story as opposed to just doing covers. I think we'll always do covers because I still think it's a good public service, but I think, yeah, over the next 6 months or so, I hope that we can start kind of coming up with some nice original stuff.
That is the most exciting news I've heard in a while. That's incredible. I'm sure it's going to be so, so good. And you've
it's
got
terrifying,
all the ingredients
so
right
terrifying.
There. No pressure. You can do it. But Crandall, Matt and Sarah, I'm so grateful you came to share this evening with us. And you've taken me away, and I'm sure Ian, who's here doing the sound, and Stefano, who's here doing some photos and just being lovely. It's just been so special, and I've gone on a long journey into the Wild West somewhere, and that crunch of grit under my cowboy boots, and the scorpions and the snakes and the heat and the railway tracks going through the desert. That's always quite nice. But it's just been magnificent, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having
you.
Us.
Yeah, it means a lot, man. Introductions wise, this is a little number by my old friend Shania Twain.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has to wait for me to get myself. Let's go, girls.
Feel the attraction, come in my head, do it.
have a little fun, fun, fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a really good journey home.
Thank
you. Don't step on any slugs or snails, or try not to.
Right?
Yeah, I will try. Or scorpions. Yeah, lucky we don't have those. Yeah, watch out for the hedgehogs, the badgers, and the foxes.
Open up the strong box. What's in your shed? What's in your shed? Pictures and treasures and the books that we read.